So, Greg, we welcome you to Preferred Company with Joel and Friends. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So tell us about what the experience was like to visit all of these beautiful spaces.
Sure. Well, I wish I had the opportunity to visit all of them, but there are a lot, and they cover the entire country, all the way from Alaska all the way down to actually Puerto Rico has a national forest. And there's 175 different units in the national forest system. Most of them are forests that we think of with trees, but there are also grasslands. There are red rock deserts. There's saguaro cacti forest down in Arizona. So they're really diverse, and they're spread all over the country. They're just like you said. As you kindly said, the book has a lot of really beautiful photographs in it, and that was one way I wanted to make sure that folks came to kind of understand a little bit that these landscapes are just absolutely spectacular. They're not our national parks. They're different than national parks, but I think a lot of them are equally as beautiful, and they're a lot more accessible in a lot of ways than national parks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So these are areas that are protected, but they're still inhabited by people, right? Like the Pine Barrens here in New Jersey?
So, no, they're a little different than that. They're protected in that they're part of the federal estate. So they're managed by the U.S. Forest Service, which is a department under the Department of Agriculture. I think the Pine Barrens are maybe managed by New Jersey State, or it might even be the Park Service. I'm actually not quite sure about that. And in some spots, there might be some old private inholdings where people live, but for the most part, they don't have people living in them. Again, there are some exceptions to that, but for the most part, there aren't a lot of people in them anyway. And they're actually what are considered multiple use lands. So they're managed for everything from timber harvesting and hard rock mining, oil and gas development, all the way to wilderness, where you can't even ride a mountain bike. You can only walk or take a horse. So they really run the whole spectrum of use, from, like I said, from that natural resource extraction all the way to some of the most protected and preserved landscapes that we have in this country.
I think one of the beautiful messages that our readers will get when they read your book, and you really, honestly, folks, this is a great book for anybody, especially people who like nature, but anybody that wants to take an armchair vacation, it's a great book to look at. And it's really how big this country really is. I mean, this is a big place with lots and lots and lots of places where nobody is and where wildlife thrives and flourishes and where oxygen is being produced and fishies are swimming around, and it's a big, big country.
Yes, it is. And these landscapes represent that vastness really well. And one thing that I didn't mention in those uses that I just talked about, these landscapes provide water, drinking water, for mm-hmm. almost 68 million Americans, which I think is really fascinating. So almost one-fifth of the country gets its drinking water directly from national forests.
Wow.
Those are in communities as diverse as Atlanta down in Georgia, which you might not think of, to Western cities like Los Angeles and Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, that get their drinking water from these forested watersheds. And there's been a long connection between healthy forests and good, clean water. And so one of the reasons that the national forests were created, particularly in the East, and there are quite a few in the East, though unfortunately for y'all, New Jersey doesn't happen to have one, but there's some in New York and Vermont and New Hampshire and up and down Appalachia. The reason those forests were created was to protect the water supplies that were coming from those headwaters. And so back in 1911, there was a law passed that allowed the government to purchase lands and bring them into the national forest system. And they did that because those lands had been cut over by industrial timber harvesting, and the downstream water supplies were degraded. So they brought those forests back over the decades, and now folks have clean drinking water up and down Appalachia, and we have great places to go recreate there as well.
Well, Greg, you're from Montana, which is arguably one of the prettiest places anywhere in the United States. How do you feel that living in that kind of an environment really kind of inspired you to want to learn more about our national forests?
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Missoula, Montana, which is in the Rocky Mountains, and we are literally surrounded by national forests. And so I love being outside. I love, skiing and biking and hiking, and I do a lot of that. And so that really drove a big part of my interest in learning more about these landscapes. It's where we go and where we, spend a lot of our time on the weekends. In addition to that, I was fortunate enough to work for a conservation nonprofit called the National Forest Foundation, and they work directly with the Forest Service to engage Americans in enjoyment and restoration of these lands. So I had about a 10-year career working for them, and that really helped build my foundation of knowledge about these landscapes and really made me realize just how special they are. So I was really fortunate to have that part of my history as well.
Well, you know what, Greg, I want to recommend that everybody get themselves a copy of the book. You know, we have people out there. This, folks, if you're a grandparent and you have your grandkids coming over, what a great thing to do to break out a copy of Our National Forest and share those stories with your grandkids when they come over there. It's also an absolutely wonderful gift to give somebody who is an outdoorsman, too. So, Greg, I think that you're going to be educating future generations of people. Tell us again about Our National Forest, where they can get a copy, and how they can learn more.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate those kind words about the book. It was really fun to produce, and it has like 150 photographs in it, and historical photographs, current photographs. So it is a great way to I think understand a little bit more about these forests. It can be it's available online, retailers, and local bookstores. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, this is exactly the book I would have walked around the house with. I mean, I would have never put this thing down. And I know there's a lot of kids out there that will be inspired to appreciate nature a lot more as a result of having a copy of it. So go get your copy, Our Natural Forest, written by Greg Peters. You will not be disappointed. It's a beautiful book and a great addition. Thank you so much for your patience today, for joining us, Greg.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.